Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Transrail Lighting Q3 and 9 months FY26 earnings conference call hosted by PhillipCapital Private Client Group. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Shah from PhillipCapital Private Client Group. Thank you, and over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of PhillipCapital Private Client Group, I welcome you all to the Q3 and 9 months FY26 earnings conference call of Transrail Lighting Limited. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Randeep Narang, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer of the company, and Mr. Deepak Khandelwal, who is the Chief Financial Officer of the company. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Randeep Narang for his opening remarks, and then we'll open the floor for the question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon and welcome to everybody on the call to our Q3 and 9 months 26 earnings call of Transrail Lighting. It's a pleasure to have you all on board. I'm pleased to share that the third quarter and 9-month period has been very encouraging and good for us in terms of both execution and profitability, which clearly demonstrates the momentum we have built over the course of the year. Our performance reflects the strength of our core transmission and distribution business, disciplined execution across projects, and continued focus on profitability and cash flow management. Starting with the quarterly performance, the Q3 revenue from operations has grown by 32% year-on-year to 1,796 crores. EBITDA margins stood at 12.7%, resulting in a 27% year-on-year increase in absolute EBITDA of 228 crores. Our operating PBT stood at 168 crores, which is a 33% increase, and operating PAT grew by 36% to 126 crores. Operating PAT margins for the quarter are 7%, reflecting stable operating performance, cost discipline, and a healthy project mix. More importantly, for the 9-month period, we delivered strong and broad-based growth for 9 months. Revenue from operations increased by an impressive 49% to 5,000+ crores, 5,017 to be precise. EBITDA margins for the period stood at 12.2%, and absolute EBITDA growing by 40% year-on-year to 614 crores. Operating PBT grew by 51% to 437 crores. Operating PAT registered a significant 61% year-on-year growth in absolute terms of 320 crores, while the margins improved to 6.3%. This performance reflects the scaling of our operation, disciplined execution, effective cost management, tighter cash flow controls, and balanced mix of domestic and international business both. During this period, we have taken one-time exceptional item for statutory expenses related to new labor codes of 17 crores. Alongside strong profitability, we've continued to strengthen our balance sheet. As of December 31st, our net debt stood at 463 crores, with debt-equity ratio on just 0.39 times, reflecting prudent capital allocation, controlling working costs deployed. Our interest cost as a percentage of revenue improved to 3.3% for the 9 months from 4.1% 9 months last year. This improvement is supported by our improvement in credit rating upgrade, reflecting lower leverage, improving cash flows, and disciplined balance sheet management. YTD, we have achieved 5,017 crores and continue to showcase our primary focus on T&D, which is around 90%, followed by civil, railways, and pole business. Cash equivalents stood at 380 crores for 9 months, an increase of 293 crores over H1, supported by improved cash flows. Strengthening of cash flows remains a key priority as we scale up our business. Turning to the order inflows, during Q3, we secured orders of 1,396 crores, taking cumulative order inflows to 5,135 crores for the 9-month period 26. In addition to this, our L1 position stands at 3,483 crores, which we expect to convert in the near term. These inflows and well-diversified geography and largely driven by transmission and distribution segment reaffirm the strength in our core business. During this period, we entered new geographies, including GCC region for EPC works, further strengthening our overseas footprint. Overall, order inflow during 9-month period is 55% from domestic and 45% from international as per our annual operating plan. As of December 31st, the unexecuted order book stood at 14,733 crores, including L1, and effective order book stands at 18,216 crores. This provides us with strong revenue visibility and long runway for growth in the coming quarters. The geographic mix remains healthy, with 57% domestic and 43% international, while our core T&D business continues to remain at 90%. Beyond the size of the order book, what is more important is the quality of the order book, which is profitable and in line with our current performance. During Q3, we successfully executed 3 lines in 765 kV double circuit Khetri-Narela transmission line project, playing a key role as an EPC partner in this project of national importance. The commissioning of the high-capacity line is a significant milestone in strengthening the grid reliability in North India and supporting renewable energy integration and enhancing long-distance bulk power transfer capability, therefore improving power availability in Delhi, NCR, Rajasthan and adjoining areas. Our teams, and I am talking about our project teams, demonstrated exceptional commitment in executing the project across challenging terrain, adverse weather conditions, a feat which is well appreciated by our client. In addition, during the quarter, we completed 765 kV double circuit Ahmedabad-Lakhadia and overhead electrification projects of RVNL, which gives us well-executed, highly operational discipline and safety compliance. On CAPEX front, production has partly commenced in the expanded brownfield projects and is ramping up to support the ongoing execution. The balance expansion initiatives include the greenfield facility, and is progressing well and will be inaugurated shortly in this quarter. Our phase-wise CAPEX remains in track and effectively doubling our capacity over towers and conductors, and will significantly strengthen our manufacturing backbone to support our project and the growth in future. As part of our transformation journey, we have initiated upgradation of our ERP systems from SAP HANA to SAP RISE as a strategic transformation initiative. Aiming at deepening cost discipline, strengthening compliance across factories and project sites, and enabling real-time data-driven decision-making. This reinforces our progressive digitization-led approach, which builds scale and future readiness of our operating platform. Now I hand over this to Mr. Deepak Khandelwal, our CFO, for the financial overview.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon to everyone. I'll now take you through our financial performance for the third quarter and 9 months ended financial year 25-26. For Q3 FY26, revenue from operation stood at 1796 crore, registering a year-on-year growth of 32%. For the 9-month period, revenue stood at 5017 crore, representing a year-on-year growth of 49%. EBITDA for the Q3 FY26 was 228 crore, up 27% year-on-year, while EBITDA for 9-month FY26 stood at 614 crore, reflecting a 40% growth. EBITDA margin stood at 12.7% for Q3 FY26 and 12.2% for 9-month FY26, supported by stable project execution and cost discipline. Operating profit before tax, PBT, for Q3 FY26 was 168 crores, which was up by 33% YOY, while profit after tax, PAT, for the quarter increased by 16% year-on-year to rupees 108 crore. For 9-month financial year 26, operating PBT improved by 51% year-on-year to 437 crore and PAT increased by 61% year-on-year to 320 crore. This performance was driven by steady execution, margin discipline and effective cost control. From a balance sheet perspective, our working capital days improved to 83 days compared to 84 days in H1 FY26 and 91 days in FY25, reflecting better working capital management. Our net debt reduced to 463 crore from 703 crore in H1 financial year 26, and our debt to EBITDA ratio stood at 0.57 times, highlighting strengthening balance sheet parameters. Return on capital employed, ROC, has remained consistently above 24% over the past 3 years and stood at 25.25% for 9 months FY26, reflecting efficient capital utilization. With this, I would now hand the call back to Mr. Narayan, after which we will open the floor for questions.
Thank you, Deepak. So, just to summarize, looking ahead, the outlook of transmission and distribution sector, both India and international markets, range structurally strong, driven by sustained urbanization, acceleration of industry activity, large-scale renewable energy integration, and rising power demand. These tailwinds are further reinforced by continued investments in grid modernization across cross-border connectivity and broader energy transition across multiple geographies. We continue to see healthy momentum in the industry tendering activity, both domestically and overseas. Addressable market visibility in the next 12 months is more than 1 lakh crores, which provides strong opportunity set up for our disciplined growth. This optimism is evident across both our domestic and international markets, particularly domestic. Our focus remains on securing high-quality, margin-assertive projects that align well with our execution strengths, and we continue to follow the quality bidding approach, which is selective yet is giving us enough opportunities to improve the bidding pipeline, prioritizing on the right margins, the right clients and the geographies, rather than pursuing growth at any cost, which is a key area of focus for us. This disciplined strategy has consistently supported profitability and remains central to our long-term growth approach. We believe that disciplined approach, supported by structurally strong and growth-oriented industry outlook, positions Transrail very well to deliver sustained profitability and continued long-term value for our stakeholders. Now, I'd request the moderator to open the floor for questions, which I and Mr. Deepak Khandelwal, our CFO, will answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question and are requested to limit your question to 2 per participant. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pritesh from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So based on the execution that you have so far and the order backlog, what kind of order inflow now that you see for this year and next year, order inflow or order inflow growth, whatever you're comfortable in sharing, and what kind of execution growth do you see this year and next year?
So, I think that's a good question, the core question. As we mentioned, the order intake with 5,100 odd crores plus the L1 of 3483, we will cross the last year's boundaries of 9,500-10,000 crores. We also have already bid for around another 15,000 odd crores of jobs, which we are assuming the results will come in the next 2 months. So we are quite confident that our order intake plan will be as per the AOP we planned and the guidance we have given. On the revenue front, we had improved our guidance from 24-25% to 26-27%. And we've seen good execution momentum post-monsoons, because if you remember, the monsoons were pretty heavy in India this year. So we are hopeful to maintain the 27% plus guidance, and we are stretching to see if we can do more.
This is for 26.
Yeah, this is for this year. Next year, again, I said 12 months, we have a good 1 lakh crore of order book opportunity, tendering opportunity, which we will look at a 10 to 12, maybe even 13-14% order intake. And our growth, as we had already planned, we are looking at 20-25% growth going forward in the next couple of years. Our order book today with L1 is book to bill 2.5 times, which gives us a clear trajectory of growth.
Okay. Do you wish to give out a ballpark revenue figure for FY26?
I did mention that 27% over last year, and maybe we stretch and do more, but we are trying our best.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jainam Doshi from Chris PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So, like, how much has been the contract assets, including the retention money at the end of this quarter? And, like, how much have we net realized that compared to the last quarter?
Just a second, I'll ask you to give you the details.
So, contract asset has been 2,643 crores. This 9 month ending 31st of December 2025, which was as on 31st March 2,522 crore approximately.
Okay, so we have seen like increase in the cash and cash equivalent due to the realizations of these contract assets. Am I right in understanding?
Yeah, it is both on part of execution and internal accruals, as well as working capital management
and better inventory management also.
Got it. And on the Bangladesh project execution, like, how much have we executed this quarter, and by end of this year, how much would Bangladesh order comprise of our total order book? And also,
so,
on the receivable,
we are right now planning to finish this job by June, July next year. By end of this year, we would have around approximately 600 to 700 crores left for next year. We are on track with execution. In fact, we are doing better than what we had planned in terms of execution. So we are in the right zone. We did execute around 300 to 400 crores this quarter. So overall, we are sustaining the delivery commitment to the client, and we will finish this job by next 6 months of the next financial year.
What are kind of the receivables from Bangladesh project? How much are they currently?
Receivables, basically, we are getting money on time, actually before time, because this is a project of national importance. And the receivables overall would be in the range of 488 crores. Receivables
from Bangladesh project, right?
Yeah, only Bangladesh, which is not too much looking at the size of the project.
Okay, got it. Thank you, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mahima Gidwani from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I have four questions. First, while revenue growth has remained healthy, we have seen a sharp moderation in order inflows on a quarter-on-quarter basis, down by nearly 30%. Could you help us understand whether this reflects a broader slowdown in tendering activity across T&D sector, or is this specific to our company?
Ma'am, contrary to the understanding, in the same period versus last year, we have grown our order intake for the 9 month period, and if you see that we have grown by around 9 to 10% over last year same time. So our internal order intake has not reduced. The L1 position also is much better than last year. So the order pipeline going forward, as we said, 9,500-10,000 will happen. In fact, we are hoping that we can better that also, because we already bid for around another 15,000 crores of orders. So therefore, the first question is that we are good to go as per our guidelines and promise.
Okay, understood. Second is, under a recent union budget, the power grid's capex outlay for FY27 has increased by around 32% to 37,000 crores. So how should we think about the potential impact of this on our order inflows over the next few quarters?
So, ma'am, what I know of, their capex for this year against 28,000, they are talking about 32,000 crores. They are our key clients. We are doing 20 plus jobs with them. And if their capex is increasing, it is part of our potential opportunity, and we look forward to working with them and increasing our market share. So that's a very positive development for us, and we look forward to more contracts and bids coming from them.
Okay, that would be it from my side. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Balasubramanyam from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, could you please share the order book mix in terms of domestic, Africa, Asia, excluding India, and CGC, and Americas and Europe? Generally, we've given the breakup of domestic and exports only, but if you could detail the breakup, that would be really helpful.
So, the India is around 8,000 plus crores. I'll give you general guidelines, not specific.
Yeah.
Africa would be approximately 4,000 odd crores. SAARC, which includes Bangladesh, of course, would be around 1,200. And of course, we just entered MENA, so that will be in the range of 750 to 800 crores. So it's well diversified, and it is in line with the way we want to grow in a diversified geographical manner.
Okay, sir. Sir, what is our debt level currently? I think we plan to increase nearly 200 to 300 crore, especially for CAPEX. Just want to understand what's the current debt levels and how it will be shaping up by end of this FY26, and whether it's a debt, it will increase gradually till FY27. So, how do we understand?
So, as you can observe, the long-term borrowing remains around 90 crore odd, and short-term borrowing remains around 750 crore. And as we are going to incur the capex, so there's some part of the borrowings will increase, but it is not going to be very substantial because the capex was funded by internal accruals and the money received from the IPO as well.
So we had mentioned in the last call also that we are doing it in a staggered manner, and from a level of 600, it reached 722 and now 750. And will be marginally increased, but it's well covered in terms of the way we are managing it.
Okay, sir. So our working capital day is nearly 83 days as of 9-month FY26. If you exclude IPO funds and unpaid dividends, like what is the normalized working capital days? And I think we have 18,200 crore order book, and what kind of specific initiatives we are taking in terms of milestone billing in terms are in place to prevent further working capital stretch, especially in international projects?
So, I think our working capital days are one of the best what we have seen, from 91 coming down to 83. And our clear focus is on net working capital days. The whole organization is focused on cash and controls. So, therefore, we are in a good zone today. Going forward, as we build our order book, obviously the retention money will increase, but we have to look at how we manage our cash. So our working capital today, what we are utilizing is in line with our growth projections. And if you see our growth projections, they are tempered and they are planned in a manner that the working capital from internal accrual will support this process.
Okay, sir. So my last question on the solar EPC side.
Mr. Bala, sorry to interrupt you. Can you please rejoin the queue for more questions?
Okay, madam. Yeah, okay. Thank you, madam.
Thank you so much for your questions.
The next question is from the line of Naman Parmar from Niveshe Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So, firstly, I wanted to understand on the 1 lakh crore opportunity that you are telling, it also includes the HVDC projects that we will be bidding for?
Yes. So, we are already doing an HVDC project for Power Grid, and we have already done HVDC projects. So, we are looking at around 59 or 60 odd thousand crores from domestic and 40,000 odd crores from international. So this includes that. We already are doing a 800 kV HVDC Nagpur project. So this is included. Now this is not what we do for This is for transmission in particular. So therefore, we are in the right zone. This 1 lakh crore, 60% will be domestic and 40% will be international.
Okay. And in the current order book only, how much would be the HVDC orders?
We have one order only right now, and we are in the bidding pipeline for more as they come and as they are announced.
Okay. And secondly, on the execution on the export or international side, so it has been a very slow down in the international execution. So what would be the reason for that?
Well, I don't tend to agree because our revenue from execution in international is stable. It is, in fact, there is a growth of 30% over last year. So we are for the 9 month period. So we are good in terms of international execution. Of course, there could be a delay in one or two projects, but overall we are good in terms of the execution progress. And of course, monsoons hampered some delays in July, August internationally also.
Because if we see the segmental data, so I think in the quarter 3 of FY25, you have done around 800 crore execution in the international business. In current quarter, you have done the 723 crore. So that's why seeing a degrowth, that's why asking what will be the result.
No, if you see the 9 months, we are growing over last year in terms of the, so to see the overall growth of how we have grown in international and we are actually in a zone where we have improved by 30%. Last year was around 1700 crores. This year we already done 2500 crores.
Okay, understood. And lastly, on any orders that you are expecting to enter into the BESS related project in the future?
Or you well, we are evaluating the BESS business. We are still not ready to start bidding. But it is something which definitely with the opportunity in India and the projections in the budget, we will look at this opportunity.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much for answering it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Shubhankar Gupta from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, am I audible?
Yes, very much. Thank you.
Sir, firstly, congratulations on a great set of numbers once again. Thank you for committing, sticking to your word and always delivering well. So my first question is around, so we as analysts basically look at a metric called CFO to EBITDA, which acts as a metric to how much cash the company is converting on an EBITDA level, right? You can take it pre-tax. So on that specific metric, our company Transrail is not as high as one or two of our peers. So I just wanted to get a sense of, like, from your end as to, is there a metric which we should see from the P&L, which we can, convert to the cash flow, like this cash flow from operations, and gauge if the company has improved or not. So can you guide something on that bit?
So I'll request Deepak to answer this question for 9 months last year versus this year.
So if we consider the last year 9 months, our cash generated from operation pre-tax was around 300 crore and which has increased to 440 crore this 9 months. So,
can you just repeat
the sum? So, our last year 9 month cash flow from operations, the direct tax was 300 crore, which has increased to 440 crore this 9 month. So, there is a substantial increment in the cash flow from operations. This.
No, so actually, that's fair. The question is more centered around the metric of CFO to EBITDA, right? And when you look at that, our company typically ranges, the range of CFO to EBITDA conversion is around 30-35%, which is a tad bit lower than our peers. So what I'm trying to get a sense on is there a number which we can pick from the P&L, which we can benchmark the cash flow?
If you see, my profit before tax for this 9 month has been 430 crore, and whereas my cash flow from generation is more than 440 crore. So it is not 25 to 30%. It is substantially higher than that. And previously also in the 9 months, profit before tax was 300 crore and my cash flow from generation was 305 crore, to be very precise. So I think these are the figures which are there.
Got it. Okay, sir. I'll just probably, you know, get take a quick check on this one. And if there is some concern, I'll probably mail it to you. The second question is, sir, around the provisions made towards labor code changes. So I wanted to just get a sense on how have these labor code changes, have they led to a change in our earlier estimates for EBITDA and PAT margins? And how do you see, look at them or, you know, factor those in going forward?
So this is as per the norms of compliance, we've already done that. 17 crores have been provided and we still don't change our EBITDA profile. I think this is something which is part of change which happens in a normal course of business, and we are comfortable to maintain our EBITDA profile of 11.5 to 12%. In fact, 12% is what we're talking about.
Okay, so that remains.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Artist, congratulations once again on the good results.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Khushbu Gandhi from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you.
So I have just one question on the revenue guidance which you have given. I appreciate that you have upgraded the guidance from 20 to 25% to 27%. But when I see the 9-month revenue growth itself, so we have done a 9-month revenue growth of 50%. And when we see a 27% growth, so in Q4, you are expecting a degrowth compared to last year's Q4, or we are very much conservative on quoting the numbers?
So actually, it's a mix of both. We are not looking at, you know, minimizing our growth, but there is a certain amount of, let's say, we have some ROW issues, some forest issues in several projects in domestic, and some issues on ROW and international. So we are giving you a conservative guidance, and as I said, 27% plus. So we are hopeful that we resolve that and we improve from where we are. But at this stage, I would rather be, you know, giving the right guidance, and hopefully we are stretching to improve this, which should happen.
Because sir, if I just compare, like, even if you don't do any growth in Q4, still we will be doing a 30% growth. So is it fair to assume that 29 to 30% is the minimum growth we should expect, considering there is no growth in Q4? And generally Q4 is the
And you have to see this in 9 months period and not only see Q and Q. Eventually the year is more important. I would be looking at stretching and improving the Q4 numbers. But if you see on a 9-month basis, leading to 12 months, we will have a very healthy growth for the year. And that's also equally important.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from Kizuna Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and the congratulations on a very great set of numbers. So my first question is on the cash flow itself. Like, when I look at your net of promoter contract assets and contract liabilities to the percentage of sales, it is coming out to be 29 to 29%, while the peers are in the range of 18 to 20%. So is there any particular reason for that?
Can you repeat your question? Sorry, I missed it.
So my question is on cash flow perspective.
So there are certain amount of, so we are also within the industry norms. There are one or two areas where we are awaiting collections which are little delayed, and it will be in the same range as you mentioned. So it's more about waiting till March, which will normalize.
Okay, sir. So we are expecting the collections to get even better in the Q4.
Yes.
It's also on the update on the loan given to our related party, Burberry Infra. So that is due on Q4 and we will receive the whole payment and the rest in September of 2026, right, sir?
There is an agreement with the party, and they will be giving part payment by Q4 and balance payment in the next financial year. So this is on track, and the party has committed to give the money as per the commitment.
Okay, sir, that's it for my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehak Talati from Agility Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, please. Yeah, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. Wanted to understand on the raw material from the raw material point of view. So there has been a sharp increase in the raw material for especially copper. So how are we seeing it? Is this a price escalation cost or lower margins will be impacted?
So actually, we don't use copper in our business in terms of what we do. It's more applicable to the cable industry who are using copper more. So we are actually insulated from this copper increase, and therefore it doesn't impact us.
But sir, the cable prices will increase, right? And,
yeah, but we are not doing underground cabling in a big way. We have marginal jobs, and the orders have already, product has been supplied, so we are in a good zone.
There's one more major impact on the
system. Yeah, we don't see any impact of copper.
Okay. And sir, by when can we expect our all the confident greenfield CapEx to come?
Sorry, can you repeat this last bit? I couldn't hear you.
When can we expect our CAPEXes to go live, both brownfield and greenfield?
Okay, that's a good question. So 70% of our brownfield is already started the production, and we are hopeful that the complete 100% will happen by Feb end. This is what our forecast is. The new tower factory, we are looking at March, April. So we are on track, and this will definitely support our growth and diversification, backward integration for next year's business. So all this will happen by end of this Q4 in this financial year.
Understood. And sir, post this CAPEX commencement, our dependence on the outside companies for our procurement will decrease, right?
Normally, we are doubling our capacity in line with the order book. So we are not too dependent outside anyway. But with this, the kind of growth we are looking at, this will help us to support the project execution and also give us some leeway for product sales, which we want to improve.
Understood. So no major impact on the market.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Disha from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, very much.
Yeah, thank you so much for this opportunity and congratulations for a steady quarter. So, just a couple of questions. So, this subcontracting expenses, as I was seeing, there was a sharp increase in Q2 and then they remain elevated in Q3 as well. So, what is the cost for that and when do you expect that to normalize?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, subcontracting expenses, this mix of the material consumption and subcontracting expenses depend upon the project mix which is under execution. So at which stage it is going to get executed. So when you compare the figures, you have to see all two things put together, cost of material consumed and subcontracting expenses as a percentage to the revenue. So if you see that in September quarter, these were 69% and this quarter it also remained at 69%. And similar quarter for the previous year, it was 66%. So 3% increase has taken place. That is nothing because of hike in erection and stinging prices.
Basically, we are looking at higher execution and ramping up of our execution, and therefore the subcontractor cost has gone up.
So we'll expect this to like sustain for Q4
and come down eventually to the last year's level, because projects are getting completed in the high priority jobs.
Okay. All right. And as for the bid pipeline, I think you mentioned 15,000 crores we have currently, right? So what is any sort of target you have for order inflow for the next year?
So this 15,000 crores, I'm talking only for this year.
Right.
Finishing
March.
And next year, 12 months, we talked about 1 lakh crores. So the bid pipeline is strong. Even in this 15,000, we're looking at least getting 10 to 15% orders. And a normal win ratio is 10 to 12%. And therefore, we are hopeful that we'll maintain and continue and grow this bid pipeline next year also.
Okay, and in terms of the margin, because of our brownfield and greenfield expansion coming up mostly in FY27, what sort of improvement in margins we expect?
Well, this is going to help us execute jobs faster. If you do the EPC job faster, obviously you save on margins. There will not be areas where you can quantify it directly in terms of margin change, but project execution on time will definitely help us to improve the cost outlay, and the impact of margins is very difficult to say, ma'am.
Okay. But yeah, timely execution is appreciated, so I think that will help.
Yeah, it will help for sure, but I can't put a number to the improvement, but it will definitely help.
Okay. And so this 27% guidance, although you mentioned that it seems a bit conservative, but even if like we do 30-35%, that will be, if we suppose take 27%, that means we'll be degrowing in Q4, which seems very unlikely.
So as I mentioned, we have some headway needed for clearances on some of the jobs, and if the ROW clearances happen, we will definitely improve on the 27%. So the whole organization, the execution organization, the project management team is working to see that we beat this number of 27%.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That will be it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anshul JT from LKP Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. First of all, congratulations on a great set of numbers, always delivering more than what you guide. So, sir, most of my questions have been answered. Just wanted, you know, more clarity on the new segment, new country, a new region we have entered, which is Middle East. So, what will be our margin profile in the Middle East? Will it be on same terms like what we do in Africa? Or will it be less owing to the competition, and do we have an escalation clause here as well?
So principally, as we mentioned, we have a very clear risk matrix. We do not go to geographies and countries where we feel that the overall potential and the margin profile will get eroded over the years. So we believe that we are focusing internationally only on T&D. And we are hopeful that we will maintain our margin profile in T&D in the new countries we have entered.
Okay, sir. So you have mentioned a bid pipeline of 1 lakh crores for the next year as well. What would be the exposure of Middle East in that bid pipeline?
So as I mentioned to you, it is actually looking at 40,000 to 50,000 odd crores. Middle East, we are not in Saudi. So we are in 3-4 countries there. Principally, we are in Abu Dhabi, Oman, Jordan, and we feel that this potential will be 10 to 15,000 crores, which we will try and bid.
Okay, sir. That's all, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aryan Bhatia from InVed Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I'm audible.
Yes, very audible. Thank you.
My question is on a civil business. So in the previous quarter, we acquired an entity which is looking to acquire Gammon civil business. So I just wanted to know what is the size of that business, and are we looking to, you know, get more into the civil side? Currently, we are more into power T&D.
No, we already are doing civil business of bridges. We are doing cooling towers and elevated roads. So we want to only look at heavy engineering-led jobs. And right now there is no interaction or discussion on anything which you just mentioned on the bridges and hydro business. So we are doing all the jobs on our own with our own capability and managing this. We are currently running 6 to 7 jobs in civil business in the same lines in the product categories I mentioned. We are not into residential building, nor are we into roads, and we don't intend to get there.
Okay, and sir, can you share the bid pipeline for international as well as domestic? And second question is, the order intake has been like increased by 10% YoY. So is there a slowdown in the order bid pipeline?
No, actually we are good. We grew by 9% over last year in the same period of 9 months. Our L1 is around 3500 crores and 15,000 crores we already bid. So we're looking at another 1,500 to 2,000. So we'll better and beat our last year's order intake, and we are in track for that. So we are very positive on the order intake that we will be reaching the guidance given to the stakeholders.
And so the bid pipeline, if you can repeat, and the closing order book we are targeting for this year.
So our current order book with L1, which is unexecuted order book, is 18,200. And we're looking at another 1,500 to 2,000 crores of orders. And looking at our execution pipeline, we should be in the range, you know, around 16,000 plus crores, the way we are looking at to start next year. So we, as I said, we are stretching on both the order pipeline and the execution for this quarter.
Thank you, and best of luck. That's from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishit Jhaveri from CBA Asset Managers LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, congratulations on a good set of numbers. So a follow-up from previous participant's question, that I agree our raw material is basically steel, aluminum and zinc. Given the volatility and increase in the steel prices as well, do we have enough inventory or will we have to acquire it at a higher rate?
Can you repeat the question, sir? I could not...
The steel price volatility, how will it impact our margins?
Steel volatility? Steel, we had steel softening over the last 6 months. It is now in line with what we had projected. So it's not going to impact our margin profile for this year and going forward. And when we bid on steel, we look at some contingency and we look at how do we look at marking up the cost based on global trends. So we are very careful when we look at the projects for EPC.
Okay, understood. And so my second question is about the GIS substations. How are we seeing the demand standing in the Northeast India for GIS substation?
So substation is a business we are growing. We have already done 4 to 5 jobs. The demand in Northeast, you're right, is coming, but it will take 6 months to fructify in terms of the bid pipeline. The visibility is still not there to the extent we want. But definitely we will be bidding for these jobs in Northeast.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the last question from the line of Nikunj Bhanushali from Kosh Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the good numbers and thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to ask if you could comment on the overall transmission capacity and the outlay in the domestic, in India basically. And because if you see the transmission lines added in the last 2 years is very less, in the current year and the last year is very less compared to the entire decade. And so if you could just comment on what the outlay is and what are the future plans.
So actually there have been some delays in execution thanks to ROW and agitation stroke forest, and that is changing for sure. There's a lot of effort by the government authorities to improve the execution. We are looking at currently from 5 lakh circuit kilometers, we are expecting it to go to 648,000 circuit kilometers in the next 3 to 4 years. The energy transition push of 500 gigawatts of non-fossil capacity also will help for grid expansion and execution. So we are very buoyant on the India piece. We feel that the way the infrastructure investment has happened in the current budget will help the transmission industry and the substation industry to grow. So this really helps in the way we are looking at our growth and transmission.
Right, because so when do you expect the push to come in? Because as per the plan, I think by FY27, what the capacity was to be added on in the transmission lines, we have only covered 50% of that till now.
If you have heard on this call, Power Grid has already changed their estimate to 32,000 crores on capex. So the way the TBCB jobs are coming and the expansion is happening, we are quite positive that the bid pipeline and execution will also happen parallelly. So the India story and infrastructure is really good, and what we see is it's going to continue for the next 3 to 5 years without a problem.
Okay. That's it from my side, and all the best for the future. Thank you.
Okay. So I'll summarize the call. Thank you very much for all the participants. So as we mentioned, we remain in Transrail focused on disciplined execution, selective bidding, and expanding our T&D business with a strong and high quality order book. And we're upgrading our digital systems to SAP RISE, our robust processes, and a capable leadership team and teams at all levels. We are very buoyant that our team, right people, processes and systems will make us future ready to sustain growth and create stakeholder value. So I thank you for joining on the call, and on a very positive note, we say goodbye.
On behalf of PhillipCapital Private Client Group, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.